the truth of God's gospel. Glad so many preachers are here tonight. Brother Michael, who led us in singing. Brother Wilson. Brother Finley. My deputy at the School of Preaching, Brother York. And my editor-in-chief. And Brother Grinnell. And of course, Brother Brown from St. Jago. And I also want to welcome the Johnson family, who are here for the first time visiting. Sheila and her son Todd, who we have known for 27 years. Her husband not here, but glad that they're able to be here. I am 66. And I have a lot of stories to tell. But tonight, it's a different type of story. Last evening, Brother Mitchell announced that Brother Oliver Bembridge had to rush off because of the news related to his brother, Winston. Winston Bembridge is dead. He died yesterday. And I have a story to tell about that brother. I've known him from 1974. Young country boy from Cox Mountain in St. Catherine, who decided that as a young man, he wanted to be a preacher. And he came to the Jamaica School of Preaching when I was still teaching at Kingston College. I remember when he graduated, he came to work at Kingston College for a number of years in the non-academic staff. I can remember when he moved his family to Old Harbor and started planting the seeds of the gospel in Old Harbor, starting in a very tiny setting, and it was gradually moving to a wooden building along the road that leads into Old Harbor itself, a rented wooden building. And as the church grew, as they had held crusades and people were led to Christ, now they're in that lovely facility as you enter into the outskirts of Old Harbor. He's evidence of what God can do. If you're willing to do it for God. Just an ordinary youth. Never went to university. Don't think he ever went to high school. But he was a preacher of the gospel. And committed his life so to do. And therefore, I would like us to remember his family. To remember Brother Oliver Bembridge's brother. And the church in Old Harbor. I know that brethren from this congregation, men, have been going down to Old Harbor. Because in these last few years, Brother Bembridge has been ill. And I spoke to him up to Monday. And sought to give him some comfort. And so it was all sadness that I heard the news. But we are people of hope. You know, we preach a message entitled Waiting at the Gateway. Well, he was waiting at the gateway. And they called it flight. And that's really what we are preparing for. But as we said, you have to get your ticket. You have to get your reservations. You must have your passport. And then go to the gates and wait. All these messages that we have been presented over these nights. On Sunday, there's a God in heaven. On Monday, do you believe God? On Tuesday, waiting at the gateway. And last night, why do the heathen rage? All these messages are available on the website of churchofchristjamaica.org, and I pray that if you miss them, you listen to them. But all of them are designed to develop your faith, to strengthen your commitment to Almighty God. But the faith that you have is incomplete without work. Faith without works is dead. So I'm not up here giving a performance and you are say well done and you go home. I'm here because we would like you to develop your labor for Almighty God. Because your labor does bear fruit. I am still 66 and still have stories to tell. In 1980, just began preaching the gospel. And I got a letter from an elder in the United States saying, Brother Kidu, there's a World Bible School student in a place called Mile Gully. Her name is Valerie Shields. We would like you to go and study with her. So we, as usual, piled up my car with students from the School of Preaching, and we drove down the hill to Mile Gully. And we reached Mile Gully, we found this young lady, and we studied with her, and she refused to obey the gospel. So we said, all right, and we bade goodbye, and we headed back up to Williamsfield. As we sought to go to Kingston, back to Kingston. When we arrived in Williamsfield, we looked up the hill and we said, but wait, isn't that Mandeville? And the Church of Christ is not in Mandeville. So two of the young men in the car, one called Anthony Morgan, another called Earl McCullough, decided to start going to Mandeville. And they started going there on Saturdays. And as they knocked doors and handed out tracts and sought a set of studies, they ran into an American couple. I'm sure my wife can remind me of their names. Right? Were members of the church who were traveling from Mandeville to Big Peace Congregation in Bullards to worship. And so they said, young man, you can meet with our house. In between that, we were meeting in the house of my mother-in-law, Alva's mother. And then they lived at my mother-in-law's house, and the church met at this American's home. And from there they moved into a hall in the middle of town. And now you know where the church meets. How many people from the Mandeville Church of Christ, how many people originate from Mandeville here tonight? Raise your hand. Is there one over there? Nobody else? All right, Paul Blake from Mandeville is a holy for them. Some of them at St. Andrew, some of them at Independence City, etc. But the hand of God But it turns out that in 2017, where is the church? In Mile Gully. Right there in Mile Gully now. So as I said, there's a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and all he needs is workers in his vineyard. You don't have to be a genius to do work for Almighty God. What you need to be is to be committed. If you're committed, you can do work for Almighty God. Do not say, John chapter 4 and verse 34, 35, that there are still 4 months and there comes the harvest. Behold, I say, look, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto the harvest. So, if you are committed, it's just amazing what you can do. When you think of the people who have come out of this congregation, the folks who have come from this congregation, Brother Kelly, who went down into eastern Jamaica, started 3 congregations. When you think of Brother Grant in Canada, started a congregation in Brother Grant. When you think of Brother Eddie Fisher, who moved to England and helping to stabilize the church in England. When you think of the brother of Brother Grant now in Portland, you realize that there is lots of work has been done by this congregation. The work that has been done at Ty Dixon by Brother Mitchell over the years. Lots of work has been done. But the point here is this. Your faith must be backed up by works. In James chapter 2 and verse 14. James 2 and verse 14. It says,
what does it profit?
In other words, what's the big deal? Of what benefit is it to you? Yes.
My brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works,
God,
can
faith... You got the picture? Back up your faith with work for Almighty God. Yes, believing in God is not enough. Read on.
If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him?
That's a rhetorical question. In other words, can faith by itself save you? There are some people who believe that.
Yes, sir.
That all you have to say, I believe, and that you're okay. Right? But this is not what this extended section of scripture is saying. Read on.
It says, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute for daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?
Remember he asked, what does it profit in verse 14? I know he asked, what's a profit? Mm-hmm. So you have faith, but you can help or you don't help.
Yes, sir.
What's the big thing about your faith? To him that has the opportunity to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. In other words, you have the opportunity. What is your faith all about? If you have that opportunity, you won't use it. Move on.
Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Look at this one. You believe that there is one God. Good. Good. Even the demons believe and tremble. Think about it. In other words, you think of the amount of Jamaicans who say they believe in God and they think that that is okay. And God is saying through the Holy Spirit, it is insufficient.
Amen, amen.
Unless you plan to see the demons in heaven. And they are going nowhere near there. It is insufficient. Move on.
Said, you believe that there is one God and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without work is dead?
Because there's some churches in who teach you're saved by faith only. And they, for a while, they mistranslated the Bible and put in only when it wasn't there. But he said, people who believe that are foolish. You think about it. I met my wife. I am 66. She was teaching at Kingston College at our summer school. And she was in the classroom teaching, and I was the supervisor. So I'm walking down, and I came to the door, and I did like this. And I looked, and I said, uh-oh. Me dead now. Anyway, there was something about her manner that got me. Confess. All right? But between then and when we get married, I had to convince her that I was serious. All right? If somebody tells me, if one lady said that this guy came to her and said, I climbed the highest mountain and swim the deepest sea. She said, okay, start with the highest mountain. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So part of what we are doing in this campaign is that we want to stimulate labor. This congregation has tremendous potential. So much to be done. And get on with it. Know there's a prison ministry fellowship coming up on the 5th of March, and I know the congregation is going to be involved with it. We have been involved in prison ministry for 25 years. And it has paid rich dividends. And we started in Stonyhill. And that prison ministry, man, I tell you, it's just interesting. And we want to encourage the congregation to get further involved in it. But I personally gained a benefit from it. And I am 66. So one day I'm going down the road, driving towards Tivoli Gardens in my car. And I go down a side lane, and up pops a gunman. He says, take it up! And he looked good at me. I said, but his brother can't do this. I'm sorry, brother Kidu. I didn't mean to hold you up. You used to preach to me in prison, you know, up Stony Hill. And I'm holding you up. Sorry, man. And he put his gun back in his waist and said, I'm sorry. Go your way. By the way, what are you doing down here? So that is my little story about that prison ministry. Lots of benefits. Yeah, lots of benefits. But all I'm saying to you is this. Service has its rewards. It has its rewards. In other words, faith without works is dead. But the works of faith have their fringe benefits. In other words, God takes note. When you work for God, you are sending treasures to heaven. God takes note. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says that, therefore, and I think of Brother Winston Bembridge, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always, don't stop, keep on working, always. I am 66 and they say I must retire now. Look, man, I am going to keep on working. I may shift a little, but I'm going to keep on working. Because I want to be like Brother Holt, who preached here 2 years ago. Preached here 2 years ago. I never forget that campaign. Wonderful preaching in the tent outside. And 2 months later, he was dead. He preached the Sunday, gave the invitation, stepped off, sat down and keeled over and died. I said, I want to die that way, with my boots on. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor of faith is not in vain in the Lord. But tonight, we'd like to speak on a particular subject. We have a sister. Her name is Frieda Witter. Baptized her 19 years ago. And she has gone to America. Don't know how long she's going to be there. She left about 4 weeks ago. And she's in America, but her citizenship is in Jamaica. So she's in America, but she keeps thinking about Jamaica. She's in America, but she wants to know that things are going all right in Jamaica. She's in America, and she has sought out the church because she's a member of the Church of Christ in Jamaica. So tonight we want to speak on the subject. Living here, but citizenship there. Living here, but citizenship there. In other words, we are doing like a play on the whole immigration matter. I'm not going to trumpet. All I want to say is that we are a migrant people. There are more Jamaicans overseas than at home. Some are in America, some are in Canada, some are in Britain, and in Britain they call them Yardi, because they are always thinking back of Jamaica. There are people all over the world from Jamaica. Some of them are citizens of their countries where they are now, but they have maintained their Jamaican citizenship. You know why? Because they love Jamaica. And they say, and I always say, I'm from Jamaica. And they are proud of the fact that they're from Jamaica. But there's a higher level of thinking on this matter. Because if you are a Christian, you are a citizen in heaven, but you are living here. And because you're a citizen in heaven and living here, you have an interest in heaven. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, and we encourage you to write down passages. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 17. Brethren, writes Paul.
Join
by the way,
fellowship.
Paul is in prison when he writes this. Brethren.
Join in following my example. And know those who walk as you have us for a pattern.
So when you are here and your citizenship is there, follow. Not an example. Good example. Amen. Amen. Follow good example. In other words, follow the example of those brethren who are serious about their Christian walk. Amen. Because this passage points out that there are some people who are not too serious about the Christian walk. But they carry the name, but they don't play the game. They carry the name, but they don't walk the walk. Well, this particular passage says, read on.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
I wonder, anybody want to sign up to be an enemy of the cross? I am sure there aren't any here who want to sign up to be an enemy. They are heathens who oppose Christianity. Saul, before he was converted, aggressively opposed Christianity, persecuted Christians. And last night our message was, why do the heathen rage? Because they can't win, you know. They're just fighting a losing battle. But if you are a member of the church and you are an enemy of the cross, you're in deep, deep trouble. Because the Bible already sets out, it says their end
is destruction.
Destruction.
Whose God is their belly. And whose glory
and whose
is in
glory
their shame.
Their shame, who set their mind
on
earthly
things.
No, if God is your belly, then that the belly is your idol. Because it means that you hold your belly above the interests of God. But it's not just that. People eat food. They eat food for nutritional value. But there are some people who just love to nyam. There are some people who eat for pleasure. What he's talking here is that there are people who love pleasure. They love pleasure more than they love God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4, he talks about people who would operate in the last days. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, without love of good. In other words, they love even more than they love good.
Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God.
In other words, they love their belly. They love pleasure more than they love God. No, there are certain things in life that are pleasurable. But the Bible warns you, if you love pleasure more than you love God, dog eat your supper. Meaning, you're in big trouble. Because you are going to put just the idea of pleasure, just to enjoy something. And because you enjoy it, you're going to do it. Last night we talked about that article that was written by Sister Reed and Brother Reed on same-sex marriage. And there are people, you know, who are involved in that type of activity. You know why they're involved with it? Pleasure. Pleasure. Their pleasure system is twisted. And they love that type of pleasure. No, you tell them, the Bible says homosexuality is wrong. You show them the scriptures. It is wrong. You show them what is said in Romans chapter 1. It is wrong. You show them that it says in verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchange natural use for what is against nature. You show them that it says it is against nature. You show them that it says, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another with men, committing what is shameful. You show them that it's shameful. But guess what? They love pleasure more than they love God. If you love pleasure more than you love God, then pleasure will be your God. No, that's a serious thing, you know. Because there are lots of things in this world that are pleasurable. Lots of things. The question is, is it right? Does God approve of it? Right? I remember when I was a youngster, it was It was Appleton and what was it? I can't remember. Appleton and Pepsi. Appleton and Pepsi. Right? It tastes nice. Now it's going down. But I used to, after, you know, next day, you say, why do I feel so bad? If this thing is so good, how is it that I feel so bad? How is it that I feel so mash up and it was so good? If this something is so good, how it makes me feel so bad? Well, after a while, I said, no more of that. Waste of time. You cannot love pleasure more than love God. If you love pleasure more than love God, you're in trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 17, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. In other words, it's going to nail me out. You are going to start doing, and there are people like that. That's why when you become a Christian, you make a decision, Jesus is Lord. Therefore, He comes first. So when you are living here, but your citizenship is there, Jesus is Lord. You set your mind on things above. Why? Because your citizenship is there, although you're living here. So you're thinking about home. One day I want to go home, although you are here. It's a mindset. Like dual, you know? I'm here, but I know I'm not here forever. One day I'm going to leave here. Therefore, I can't live as if this world is my home. In fact, we say, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Amen. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I stop there. You set your mind on things above. But when you're living here and your citizenship is there, afflictions have to be put in perspective. Perspective. In other words, you don't let, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17, you don't let problems, afflictions, illness, the ups, the difficulties, the downs of life overcome you. Because you know it's just for a time. In fact, look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 17 says. He says, for our
light affliction,
yes,
which is but for a moment.
Just for a moment. Moment in terms, in comparison with eternity.
Is working
so
for us.
So Brother Bembridge suffered. He had to get dialysis for the last, how many years? 4 years, at least. 3 times a week. It really got to him. Right? I mean, it was a real burden for him. $7,000 a pop. 3 times a week. 4 weeks in the month. We're looking at $50,000 a month for 3-4 years. It was light. For your light affliction, which is but for a moment. Light. Moment. But they say he was sick for 4 years. What do you mean by moment? That is, it's moment compared with eternity.
Amen.
So when you are here and your citizenship is there, you have a certain perspective of things that happen to you here.
Amen.
You put it in the right setting. Because if you are an adult living in Jamaica, Brother Wright used to say to me from morning, he's dead, precious soul. And Brother Long take over from him as my older right-hand man. But, listen, he said to me, shall Jesus bear his cross alone? When I was going through it, he said, Brother Kidu, everybody has to bear them cross. My cross may not be your cross, but everybody has to bear the cross. So if you are a Christian, don't think you are going to escape your cross. Firm up, bear it, because it's part of the Christian walk. You must learn to carry a cross and fight for Jesus. You must learn to carry a cross and work for Jesus. Right? And don't get disheartened. Look at the passage. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, while we are here, we are looking at the things which are seen. But when we're looking at Him, we're looking at the things which are not seen. Eternal life. The judgment. Right? The fact that one day you're going to be able to be in paradise to await the judgment. Are you looking forward to those days? When you are here and your citizenship is there, we are in the world, but not of the world. We are living in Jamaica, but we're not defending certain things in the Jamaican culture. There are certain things in the Jamaican culture that you going to say, no way. Jose, I am 66. And I have a lot of stories to tell. My son, Jared, went to study at Abilene Christian University. First night he arrived, some out about a young man come and say, where is the ganja? So what ganja? You are from Jamaica. So if you're from Jamaica, obviously you smoke ganja because you're from Jamaica. So that was the assumption. That was the assumption at the school. Now, and I'm saying that that's what they do there, you know. All I'm saying is this, that the fact that Jamaicans smoke the weed and that so many people have and are smoking the weed, we reject those things. We are in Jamaica, but we are not of Jamaica. In other words, there are certain things of Jamaican practices, but we're not into that. We're not into that. But we are Jamaicans, though. But we are Jamaicans. We are here, citizens there. You know what? Because we have been registered there. And this is where we are going to get into a part of the lesson that's so very important. How you get registered? Do you go to a brother and say, I want to join the Patrick Gardens Church of Christ. Will you give me an application form? I want to be registered as a member. If Mama P came, I said, I retired now and I want to give my life to God. And she came here one Sunday morning and she said, I want to become a member here at Patrick Gardens. Right? So give me the application form. And we say, well, that's not how you become registered. If you want to become registered, you have to do it God's way. You don't become registered by making up your own registration plans. You've got to do it God's way. You know, there are two men. One from Africa and another one from Arabia. One lived in the first century, and one lived in the 6th century. One was called the Ethiopian eunuch, and the other one was called Mohammed. Both of them were searching for truth. The Ethiopian eunuch story is told in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. But before we go to his story just mentioned that he was traveling back from Jerusalem, going back to Africa. And he was reading the scriptures. The one over here, Muhammad, is searching for truth. And instead of reading the scriptures, because we know that on the day of the Pentecost, people from Arabia were among those who heard the gospel. So, instead of reading the scriptures, he went into the caves above Mecca and started meditating, fasting and meditating. And of course, I told you my story last night about what can happen to you under certain situations. I told you I was, for those who weren't here, I was driving from the country and I was tired, sleepy. I know the head of the Gretel's Grinding School would like to hear this one. Sleepy. And I was so tired, Brother Gretel. I don't do that again here, so I repent. I was so tired that I saw a tree. I stopped the car and saw a tree in the middle of the road. I was hallucinating. And I said to the students in the car, look at the tree in the road. And I not only told them, look at the tree in the road, but I drove around the tree. Right? Brother Gretel, I don't do that again. But that's what will happen when you put your brain under a certain type of pressure. You will imagine things that are not there. You will lie down in your bed at night and feel somebody holding you down. Yeah. You ever had that one yet? Yeah. Somebody holding you in the bed. You see somebody standing up in front of you. The mind can create lots of images and situations. But you don't follow your feelings, you follow your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what Muhammad should have done was what the Ethiopian eunuch did. He was searching the scriptures, and when he could not understand, he got help. So tonight, let us not bother Muhammad. Muhammad had his visions. He said he went, God took him off in a vision, and he went to seven heavens. One heaven he saw Moses, another heaven he saw John the Baptist. And he saw six different characters. And then he went to the seventh heaven and he saw Jesus Christ. And then he said that God said to him, you are the greatest of all prophets. No one knew he was hallucinating. Because Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How on earth God's name is that God says that to Jesus Christ? And now he's telling Muhammad, you are the greatest of all prophets. Doesn't make sense. But let us go to the Ethiopian eunuch.
An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is
I desert. Wonder why God told the angel to go talk to Philip. Why didn't the angel go and talk to the Ethiopian eunuch? Because, you know why? The spreading of the gospel is not in the hands of angels.
Yes. Come on.
It is not Gabriel going to appear to you.
No.
In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, come and teach you any other gospel than that which we have taught you, let him be accursed. So he said, just in case, you imagine that Gabriel talked to you and said, let it be accursed. Well, Muhammad said that Gabriel talked to him. But let us consider water. In other words, Christians are the ones who are going to lead people to Christ. That's our job. It is in our hands. And if we don't want to do it, the church is going to suffer. Read on.
So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia.
When it says a man of Ethiopia, it's not the Ethiopia of today. What it really means is that a man from Africa. That's what it really means. Okay. A man of Ethiopia. A eunuch of great authority
under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury.
So this was a professional. This was a civil servant. The man had a good job.
Yes.
He had good income. He was well respected. Right? Everything going for him. I wonder why is he reading the scriptures? Why on earth would a man with everything going for him end up reading the scriptures? You know why? Because the psychologist says it. Jesus Christ said it. Man shall not live by bread alone.
Yes.
There is a hunger inside of everybody. A hunger. And some people go searching in the wrong places. But we have a spirit, and there's a part of us that wants that part of us to be fed.
Yes.
And if you give it the wrong food, you are in trouble.
Yes.
But the psychologists say that the inner man is searching for a meaning in life. Isn't that right, Brother Tito? The inner man is searching for mankind is searching for a sense of direction for life. That inside of us, we want a philosophy for life. We want a clear vision. Where am I heading? And we want a sense of identity. Who am I?
Yes.
And thank God Christianity fulfilled every last one.
Yes.
Every last one. Because when you're a Christian, you have meaning in life. You know what life is all about. You know you're put on this earth to serve God. You have a sense of direction. It is appointed for man once to die and then comes the judgment. But between now and the judgment, I serve, I work, I worship Almighty God.
Yes. Yes.
You want a philosophy for life. And your philosophy for life is Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
And I live, not my will, but thy will be done, yes. O Lord.
Yes.
I'm here to do the will of God, not to please myself. Therefore, I will not be a lover of pleasure. I will be a lover of God.
Yes. Amen.
You want a vision for the future. What does the future hold? When people in Jamaica are worried about the crime and everything, we know how things are going to work out.
Amen.
We know that the devil is going to be locked up in jail. Gehenna.
Well.
He and his angels and anybody who has not decided to become a child of God, they're going to end up there too. Not because hell was prepared for humans. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you go there by default. Because where God is concerned, he would have that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. In other words, God is a God of good will. And his will for everybody here, I want you to go to heaven. I am 66 and I want to go to heaven. I've been with the church now for 50 years. I started when they started meeting in a house in Mona. I spent my whole life doing this stuff. I want to go to heaven. I have no intention of going anywhere by God's grace.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But it's not my call, it's God's call. In other words, you have to do what God says.
Yes.
You can't say, I want to go to heaven, but I am not willing to be enrolled as a citizen while I'm on earth. What if your eunuch was doing was getting enrolled? and sitting in his chariot, he was reading through Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot.
So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading?
If you're here this evening and you're interested in becoming a Christian, we will sit and study with you, like how Philip sat and studied with the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yes.
We are not going to baptize you just like that, because you need to be taught. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you need to be taught. If you understand, we baptize you. But you need to be taught. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how could I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. If you're going to become a Christian, if you're going to be registered, you must be teachable.
Yes.
You must be teachable. You must be willing to listen. If Mother P came inside and she wanted to be a member, somebody would have to sit down with Mother P. And teacher and Mother P would have to be sitting down and listen.
Yes.
So that is what the eunuch did. He listened. The place of the scripture which he read was this. Read.
He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
Yes.
In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from him,
Isaiah
from the earth.
Chapter 5, 53, verse 7. The Bible says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So here he is, reading from the Old Testament. But it's there to lead you to the Christ of the New Testament age. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, read on.
I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down...
Now you preach Jesus to him.
Yes.
Now you preach Jesus. You have to preach what Jesus said. I'm not going to say, but Jesus was a historical figure, and he was reported by Josephus, and he lived in this particular period, and he was a man of Judea, and blah, 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 blah.
Come on.
More than that.
Yes.
More than that.
Jesus
what
said.
Did Jesus Christ
yes.
teach?
Yes.
Well, at the end of the teaching that he got, it says, the eunuch said,
See,
here is water. Here is water.
What
hinders me from being baptized? Friends, baptism was not taught under the Old Testament. This was a new subject. It was actually brought up towards the end of the Old Testament, in that John the Baptist introduced it. But in terms of scripture, it's not taught. John the Baptist introduced it, and Jesus' disciples introduced it. But here's the point. You taught him Jesus, and then the man said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? It means that he must have been taught about... Logical. And Philip said, and
then
this
Philip
is the
said,
point. This is the point. You
if
want
you
to
believe,
become a Christian, you want to become a Christian, then this is how you do it. Philip said,
if you believe with all your heart,
you may. And then he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see the two mutes who we baptized down in Bolsabana?
Yes.
Two mutes. Mrs. John said their name was Powell from up the hill. They couldn't talk.
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus, in fact we had to write it on a sheet of paper. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And we said, show them this. And they said, oh! And that was their yes. They couldn't talk. But they had to make their confession. So they confessed it with their hand. So he commanded the chariot to stand still.
And both Philip and the eunuch.
Notice, both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water. I wonder, how is it that there are some religious leaders that taking people and putting something on them for like this and say they're baptized? Baptism requires immersion. The Bible says both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and the word baptized means immersed. He immersed him. And when they came up out of the water,
the Spirit of the Lord,
when they could rejoice. So the matter of you being saved before baptism is wrong. Because the rejoicing took place after the baptism, not before. The rejoicing did not take place when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No rejoicing just yet. Because it was too early. It is when you are baptized that you can rejoice. Why? What is the point? You mean that the water wash away your sin? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you that my wife gives me some advice every now and then, right? And she does, yes. Good advice, good advice. When Jesus Christ was on the cross and he died, a soldier took a sword and plunged it into his side, and outflowed blood and water. Means the blood of Jesus Christ is now been mixed up with the water. So that was no accident. That was part of the providence of God. God didn't tell the soldier to do it, but it was part of the providence of God to make a statement. If you want to make contact with the blood of Christ, you must make contact with the water. When last you wash your clothes? So you're washing your clothes and you take out your clothes, you put it in the container, and you take the soap powder and you pour it on the clothes. And you start to do this. You pour it on the clothes and you start to wash your clothes without water. Is there anybody who washes your clothes without water? No. Is there anybody who washes your clothes without soap? No. In order for the soap to work, you need the water. In other words, soap and water wash your clothes. The blood of Jesus Christ with the water washes away your sins. Jesus Christ said you must be immersed. Baptism washes away your sins. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's not the water that washes away your sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. But for the blood of Jesus Christ to work, you must make contact with the water. For soap to have any effect on your clothes, you must have water. And then the soap works. So tonight, don't follow the man of Arabia. Follow what the Ethiopian eunuch did. Because he was clearly hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And the Bible says, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So he was searching, and he found the truth. And the truth is, one, you must hear the word. He heard the word. You must believe the word. He clearly believed. And the fact that he wanted to baptize meant that he repented. And now he's a changed He made his confession before he was baptized. And then he was immersed in water. Then he went on his way rejoicing. And then his name was written in the book of life. He was registered in heaven. Then that's how you get registered. You don't fill out an application form. What you do is follow God's plan for registration. So you are here and you want to go there. You are here and you want to be registered there. Therefore, when you are here, you need to believe in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and God will, the angel will take out their heavenly pen and write your name in the book of life. And you are at the gateway of heaven, ready to go. You have your visa. You have your passport. You have your reservation. And it's just a matter of when God calls your flights. God calls Brother Bembe's flights. And he has flown off to paradise. He's ready to call yours or mine sooner or later. Get your reservation. Get registered. You are not too young to become a Christian. Don't say you don't live no life yet. Not like that. You're wasting your time. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So, if you just read your Bible, what I've read tonight is the Word of God. Anybody who wants to become a Christian has to do it the way the Ethiopian eunuch did it. There is no way around it. There was no way under it. You have to do it this way. Won't you do it? As we stand and say.